your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
How delightful that you're here. Come in close. We're bringing a chair in for you. Snuggy up with us, because we are truly in, well, it's a room bigger than a snug in a castle. Have you ever sat in a snug in a castle? It's something like a little architectural loop in a corner somewhere, barely big enough for a chair or two, a lounge chair maybe, a table, a place you might have something lovely to drink or a light bite, maybe read a good book as you cuddle up, or the kind of place that inspires me to want to sit down and write. This room is somewhat larger, a perfect place for a meeting, a private dining room, a romantic dinner. Ah, yes. And it's in a very romantic place. In Kilronan Castle in County Roscommon, Ireland. On a gorgeous sunny day. And I have to tell you, I'm so tired of hearing Irish people mention gray, rainy weather. Yeah, you'll expect that. And it's one of the reasons why in the dead of winter, in December, January, you will drive for miles and miles and miles, or kilometers as the case may be, and see nothing but green grass. No snow. Maybe some snow up on one of the mountaintops, but nothing that's going to affect your travels. And we've probably got something like 20,000 photographs that we've taken in Ireland in our travels. They're posted at sabrams.com, and you will find, I'll bet at least 40% of the photos are in bright sunshine, and some are on kind of gray overcast days that don't impede your travels, and if anything, they set that romantic tone for when you go into a pub or a tavern or some roadside place, visit a museum, come out and feel the brisk air, and then go someplace where you'll be greeted by a roaring fire in a fireplace as you enter. That's glorious. And this is such a great time of year to be in Ireland, because so many people can't or don't travel at this time of year. That means there's more space at the inn, there's no waiting at the restaurant, there are no crowds in the museums, and you'll have an opportunity to go everywhere without bringing a crowd with you, unless you bring your own tour group. But it's a wonderful way to travel in Ireland, because by the laws of supply and demand, you're going to get the best rates at everything. So you'll be able to stay in places that lower their rates at this time of year to encourage people to come. I hope you're one of those people. I'm so lucky that my very dear friend, Mark Leslie, who is part of the family that is Castle Leslie in County Monaghan, pretty much a hop and a jump from County Roscommon, but who lives, he hates when I say he lives in Dublin. He always corrects me and says, I live in Dunleary. If you look at the way Dunleary is spelled, you probably pronounce it as Dangle Harry. And Mark is the visionary, founder, CEO, driving force behind the company Martello Media that has been responsible for some of the best visitor centers, experiences that travelers would have when they are going places to learn about a place. And all over Ireland, you will find his award-winning product as a result of his company's team creating and presenting the history and what you need to know about the place you're visiting. Not long ago, coming on almost a year ago now, who can believe that, we were in Malta where we were visiting attractions created by Mark's company. And there's a new attraction about to open in 2018 in Malta as well that he is responsible for. So we have tons to talk about. And I'm so thrilled you were able to make the time in your crazy busy life, Mark, to come up from Dangle Harry.
Yes. Well, Dunleary is famous for being on the edge of Dublin Bay, and I think relating to your weather, it's actually one of the sunniest corners of Ireland, but the weather law then says if you can see across beautiful Dublin Bay and you see Howth Head, which is a beautiful mountain that sticks up out of the sea, kissed in gorgeous golden sunlight, it means it's just about to rain. And if you can't see Howth Head, it means it is raining. But I think the point is Irish light is Atlantic light. It's very different. We have warm, wet, tropical air coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, and it bathes Ireland in very romantic, damp light, which refracts the perspective. So a quite small, dull, boggy hill in Ireland will look like the most romantic range of mountains because the light just makes the distances vast. So Ireland, which is quite a small island, has vast landscapes, which by some weird, like the laws of relativity, couldn't possibly all fit into one small country. You go up to a hill and look back and there's some vast landscape that you haven't seen before, and then you get to the top of the hill and look the other way and you know a different vast landscape. And yet after a couple of hours driving, you might have only gone as the crow flies 25 miles and you think, how did these immense landscapes fit in here? And it's the damp light. But the damp light has slate grey clouds and flashes of golden light that come and go. And I think George Bernard Shaw famously said, the English will never understand Ireland because they have no such yearning in their light, where you just feel fairyland is just around the corner. And very often, the most magical light is to be got in the autumn or the winter or the early spring when people don't come and miss out on this fantastic cloud and light show. Which is special and unique to Ireland.
Well, and for people who are particularly interested in photography, the kind of lighting that you will find in Ireland is perfect for that subtle background to whatever it is you want to highlight.
And the rainbows and the reflections.
And the rainbows.
And again, constant changing clouds. Friends of mine come from China, where if they see through the smog, you know, once a year, they're delighted. And all they film in Ireland is not the landscape, the people, the ruins, the sky. They say, we've never seen sky like this. So all of my Chinese friends take hours of video footage of moving clouds in Ireland, you know. And they say quite right, oh, this is better than a Chinese painting, you know.
But, that, you know, that's an interesting concept, though.
Yeah, a cloud filming holiday.
Yeah, no, but it really is. It's an interesting concept because I can just imagine what a creative video that could be.
Yes.
Of, you know, and something. All right, so all of you that are educators and particularly dance educators, how about this? How about you come to Ireland and you get yourself some great footage of clouds moving across the sky? And then take that footage and project it on something big on a stage at the school that you're associated with or the school of dance or whatever, and then have your modern dance department or your classical dance department or your step dancing or folkloric dance departments put together something that fits together with those moving clouds, because wouldn't that be gorgeous?
Well, certainly we had that very thought when we were asked to go to the land of the rising sun, Japan, 15 years ago, and do the Irish Expo Pavilion in Nagoya. And we came
from
the land...
Is it 15 years now?
15 years, or no more.
It can't be.
2005. Oh, you're right, 12, 13 years ago. So we said, bringing the land of the setting sun to the land of the rising sun, the principal exhibit were full-size plaster casts of the 7 metre high, the 6 most famous high crosses in Ireland. But the dome over them, we just projected Irish skies. And I think far more Japanese snapshotted the dome than the thing they were supposed to be looking at, which are the wonderful Irish early medieval high crosses.
And do you know how I knew that it couldn't be 15 years ago? But it was almost. We actually went to Japan to go to that expo and do some other things. And we already knew you, not knowing you as well as I know you today, but knew you well. And that you and your company had been selected to create the Irish Pavilion at the Japan World, it was like World a World Fair, basically, yeah. But they called it an expo, the World Expo. And share with our audiences, in Ireland alone, where will you find exhibits explaining what you're experiencing that are the result of Martello Media?
Well, I suppose 3 or 4 sites would leap out at one. One of them would be the National Library of Ireland, which we were asked to put a temporary exhibition in 12, 13 years ago on, in fact, longer, 15 years ago, on W.B. Yeats, our great national poet.
And that is an amazing exhibit. I can promise you that when you leave the exhibit, you will feel like Yeats was a great friend. We have to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with Mark Leslie. Don't leave me. Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sunday starting February 4th on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays. Stephanie Abrams here, inviting you to Northern Ireland's dazzling North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers to stage their works. Walk in mythical steps of giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrickaree Rope Bridge. Take a walk on the sugary sand of Port Stewart's Beach and have a bite and a pint at Harry Shack. With a million-dollar sea view, drive through the canopy of trees called Dark Hedges and visit Ballantoy Harbor and Quarry, all used as natural settings for Game of Thrones. Press on to Cushendon, a fairy tale, enchanting seaside village where boutique shops and a local pub will surely entice you.
Start planning now. Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Carrickaree. That's nationaltrust.org.uk. Search for Carrickaree.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Biz Talk Radio.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
What a lovely way to begin the new year here at Kilronan Castle in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland on a gorgeous sunny day with the happy thoughts and such positivity that I always feel the aura of just sitting with my good friend Mark Leslie. He's the founder, CEO of Martello Media, a company that creates visitors' experiences. And we're beginning to talk about other places that you have done installations. Let's start with the ones in Ireland. You mentioned the AIDS exhibit, which is remarkable, at the National Library in Dublin, which is very easy to get to. Go there first and then do your shopping so you're not encumbered with bundles. But it's right near all the great shopping in Dublin and everything else there is to see. But you've done
a few
at least two other, well, three others that I can think of now. Let me see if there's more that I'm leaving out. The Irish Whiskey Museum, the General Post Office, and Glasnevin Cemetery.
Yes.
Anything else in that region that you've done?
Well, those would be, I mean, we did quite a lot of work on the Guinness Storehouse.
Oh, that's right.
Certainly I'd mention the General Post Office.
Let's start with that.
Yes.
What makes that special?
The General Post Office was a symbolic, it looks like a Grecian temple. It's in the middle of the widest street in Dublin. And because it was the centre of communications for the whole island, 100 years ago, 101 years ago now, the revolutionaries, who are effectively the founders of the modern Irish state, staged a coup, if you like, a rebellion, and seized that building. It would be equivalent to seizing the television station today. It was a terrible shock. It wasn't expected. And in a piece of sort of political theatre, they read the proclamation of the Irish Republic, the principles, if you like, the title deeds of which our modern constitution are based, very much equivalent to American Declaration of Independence.
This had been April of 1916.
And against all the odds, a small band of about 1,000 half-trained civilian volunteers held the capital city, Dublin, against overwhelming forces, 20,000 British soldiers with heavy artillery and gunboats. And though inevitably the British succeeded at certainly in destroying the city centre of Dublin and burning the post office down, forcing the rebels to surrender, their military failure turned into huge political success because effectively the British then wrote the blueprint of how to turn a disaster into complete catastrophe, which is...
It was a massacre, it was a bloodbath.
Yes, they covered their failure, as so often happens, with thousands, by arresting thousands of innocent people who were not involved in the real rebellion, so that they didn't look that they'd been made sort of monkeys of by such a small number of people. And then they made the mistake of imprisoning for over a year several thousand innocent Dublin citizens, along with a couple of hundred surviving rebels, who naturally turned the prison camp in Wales into a university of revolution. And then a year into it, they let them all out again, released them back into the wild, and wondered why they had a much, much bigger problem on their hands second time round, because those very irate citizens came back and staged an independence war.
Now, the General Post Office, in its abbreviated way, the GPO, what is the name of the street that it's on, that big street?
O'Connell Street.
Okay, and O'Connell Street, of course, is named for Daniel O'Connell, who was, in essence, the George Washington of... Dublin and of Ireland, and was very much revered, and is also a key factor, a key presence at Glasnevin Cemetery, which is used to be the outskirts of Dublin, is very much part of Dublin today. But before we get away from the GPO, it really is similar to I guess the story of the Alamo, because there was no escape for the people that were in that building.
Oh, they were doomed. And by the
How do architects build buildings without back doors?
Well, there was a back door, but if the street behind you is on fire and being raked by machine gun fire, and actually, by and large, they sort of got out and could have fought on, but their leader, Patrick Pearse, realised that he was in one of the most densely inhabited slum areas of Dublin, and that many hundreds, if not thousands, civilians would lose their lives if they continued the battle, not in a heavily sandbagged, fortified Alamo-type building, but randomly street-fighting through an inhabited area where ordinary people had no chance of escape.
Wow.
Now, ironically, Daniel O'Connell, who you know, who's probably the real founding father of an independent Irish state, and was one of the great forerunners of all of the civil rights leaders, the Martin Luther Kings and the Mahatma Gandhis, all sought inspiration. He was a great believer in non-violence. He said, the altar of liberty totters if it's only cemented with blood. And he would have been appalled at the 1916 Rising and heartbroken that it had to come to that level of violence for Ireland to get its freedom, because he came 70 years earlier than he came within an ace of getting Ireland home rule peacefully. And it was only that his premature death and the onset of the Irish famine broke the spirit of the Irish at that time, because he had successfully achieved full civil rights for Irish Catholics and thought that he would regain Ireland's constitutional rights at least a semi-independent country within the British Empire. So I would be a much bigger fan of Daniel O'Connell, who was certainly famous all around the world. When the Belgians were given independence, they said, who would you like to be your king? Daniel O'Connell, they said. When the great Frederick Douglass fled America because he was under danger of being repatriated back down to the south under the laws, where did he get his big welcome? In Ireland. Daniel O'Connell staged a rally of 30,000 people and welcomed Frederick Douglass to Ireland as the Daniel O'Connell of America, who would achieve full civil rights and equality for the Black Americans. And it was a very proud moment when Frederick Douglass's granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, Nettie Douglass, arrived in Ireland.
Nettie Washington Douglass.
Yeah.
Her great-grandfather was Booker T. Washington, and her great-great-grandfather was Frederick Douglass. So you're talking about American royalty, really.
Double royalty, yes, because on her mother's side and her father's side,
yes,
she had that amazing connection. And she, I must say, was a very gracious and wonderful person and spoke most movingly. And Frederick Douglass, when he landed in Ireland, took a taxi, a Jarvie coach. He landed in Cork. And the taxi driver just chatted to him as if he was a white person. He said that was the first moment where he felt truly free.
Well, in his writings, yes, he mentions that the first time Frederick Douglass, talking about himself, it was the first time he felt that he was a man and not a black man.
Yes,
was when he arrived in Ireland.
And Nettie, very movingly, said she knew nothing about Ireland except her great-grandfather's account, and she gets into the taxi in Dublin Airport, and the same, obviously the great-grandson of the same taxi, coach driver, just chatted to her way as if she was a friend or a neighbour, the way Irish cabbies do.
But this would have been a horse-drawn something.
No, just an ordinary cab at the airport.
Oh.
She just gets in.
Oh, you're talking about Nettie?
Nettie, yes.
Oh, I'm talking about Frederick.
Frederick gets into a horse-drawn.
He would have been, you know, when we talk about a cab, we would have been talking about a horse-drawn...
Exactly, it's 18.
We'll be right back, people. Don't leave me. Talking with Mark Leslie here.
Looking for great island destinations that have beautiful beaches and amazing sightseeing and shopping? Try Malta. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Just off the coast of Italy, with three islands for travelers to explore, you'll find walled cities, baroque towns, sleepy villages, gorgeous seaside resorts, wonderful hotels and spas, great restaurants, beautiful beaches, the spiritual paths of St. Paul, and the Cathedral of the Knights of the Order of St. John. Whatever your interest, you'll find it in Malta. Whether it's bustling fishing ports that provide you with an abundance of unique experiences, charming cafes, nightlife, clubs, restaurants, and glorious pastry shops that remind travelers of Baroque living, incredible architecture, historic forts, and a world of art, rare books, and botanical gardens, make Malta a must-visit experience. For details, go to visitmalta.com.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Allergy congestion. Cut grass. Cat on the sofa. Dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Biz Talk Radio.
In a neat little town they call Belfast, apprentice to trade.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Delighted to be at Castle Ronan, and I am so happy here in County Roscommon, Ireland, that my good friend Mark Leslie has driven up from Dublin to come and be with us so we can be with you. How long did it take you to drive here?
The roads are very good now, less than 2 hours door to door.
So this is your first time here at Kilronan Castle?
Yes, it's beautiful.
You were supposed to be here with me 7 years ago.
Yes, well, I'm
almost
sorry,
8 years ago. I'm sorry you weren't there either. It was a great meeting. I gathered up 23 important people in tourism in Ireland, and I really would have liked you to have been there, but you were working on something you couldn't tear yourself away from. What was your first impression coming up the drive here?
Well, what a magnificent setting with the lakes and the mountains around it and all the forests. And how wonderful to see one of the great Victorian houses around, because so many of them fell to either being deliberately burnt down during our Civil War and Independence War, or just falling down with neglect in the intervening decades. So it's great to see investment in putting these marvellous houses back together, which were built for aristocrats to have a great time in. But now anyone can come
and
enjoy
have a
the
great
same.
Time. Like you and me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Glasnevin Cemetery, where you will find probably, I'm going to say, maybe a 10-minute taxi drive from the heart of the shopping and entertainment region that you would be seeking out in Dublin to get to Glasnevin. And there is a wonderful visitor center. And you took me there the first time we saw Glasnevin's Visitor Center, just after it had opened, to introduce us. Thank you very much. I have fond memories of you taking me by my hot little hand to a variety of different exhibits that you've been involved in. But what I didn't expect to find were two tableaus, backlit glass or acrylic informational placards installed in the wall about Daniel O'Connell, and in which in each of those two particular spots, there was the image of Frederick Douglass. And as an American, and as a person who has great respect and admiration, and you know the little dinner game, if you could invite five people, living or dead, to dinner?
Oh, yes.
Well, Frederick Douglass is one of my five.
Yeah.
So when I saw his image at Glasnevin Cemetery, that was a big surprise to me. But I have read the first of his three-part, The Autobiography of a Slave. And he mentions that when he was somewhere around 9, 10, 11 years old, in that time period, he was the houseboy, taken off a tobacco farm as a slave child and put into a family's home in Baltimore, Maryland, down near the harbor. And the father of the household decided it wasn't enough that he was a companion to the son in that house, the only child, and that it wasn't enough that he did household chores and whatnot. He wanted him to go out and earn his keep to pay for the food he was eating. So he set him out to go down to the harbor and work on the cargo ships coming in and out of Baltimore Harbor and get paid. And whatever he earned came home to pay for his food. And it's clear, he mentions in the book, that when the ships would come in with Irish sailors, they were aghast that he was a slave.
Yes.
And told him that they would help him escape to the north and sail up to Boston so he could get out of slavery. But, and I imagine it has something to do with their own knowledge and history of the early life of Patrick.
Yes.
And being taken from England as a slave and brought to Ireland. And so, you know, but I have no facts in that regard, but it just seems to me that there had to be some underlying fundamental underpinning there. But he didn't want to leave because he felt this was the best place for him to be, to finish learning to read, because he was learning from the woman who was the mother of the household and the little boy when he would come home from school. They were teaching him to read until the father one day came home early, caught him reading, and carried on furiously about why he should never be learning to read. And it was in that moment that Frederick Douglass realized there's power in reading. If they don't want him reading, that's got to be a good reason. And he's going to stay here until he can both read and spell and write.
And where the slaves were told that slavery was the natural form of economy in the whole world, that there was nowhere where slavery did not exist. And so it was very shocking to him. The Irish were shocked to find out that he was a slave. And he was shocked to find out they had a country where there was no slavery. And that, even more, that there was a part of the United States called the North where there was no slavery. And he thought, how brave that there were some really stoic white people who must live in dire poverty in cabins because they have no black people to fetch and chop and mine them. And his amazement when the Irish did actually smuggle him on board ship at the later voyage, drop him off, and the Lord said, if you run to a road, a stagecoach will come and they'll pick you up and they'll bring you to town. And on that stagecoach, so enthusiastic-wise, oh, you're a runaway slave, welcome aboard, son, we'll bring you into town. And as he walked into Boston, oh, look, there are slaves, because I see two very well-dressed black people coming down the steps of their house. They must be out. And then they get into their carriage and are driven off by a white carriage driver. Oh, no, they're the owners of that house, you know. And the sudden realisation that he'd been told a fib, that not only were there areas with no slavery, but it was more prosperous. Boston looked much more prosperous than any city he'd seen down south.
Yes. Yeah, and it's really wonderful that the friendship between Daniel O'Connell and Frederick Douglass, who were both working on behalf of civil rights for the people they cared most about, came together in friendship, and that Frederick Douglass's great-great-granddaughter, Nettie Washington Douglass, could come here to Glasnevin Cemetery. If I was amazed, stunned, impressed, touched by the tribute to Frederick Douglass in Dublin at Glasnevin Cemetery, I can only imagine how she felt.
Yes, and to meet Daniel O'Connell's great-great-granddaughter. And the week afterwards, actually, Barack Obama came on a state visit and said how much it gladdened his heart that the week before, you know, the descendants of his great hero, Frederick Douglass, was meeting the descendants of Ireland's great national hero, and that four generations on, the two families were still in contact, you know, in deep respect and friendship. And how moved, again, Nettie had been by her welcome with the taxi driver at the airport. I had no idea who she was. Chit-chatted away to her just as a welcome American tourist. And then we said, why are you here? She said, oh, to leave a grave on Daniel O'Connell's grave. He said, oh, I couldn't possibly charge you for that. He's our national hero. And delivered her free to the ceremony.
Wow.
You know,
it was a wreath she was delivering.
A wreath, yes. The day on Daniel
O'Connell. So, you know, the whole scenario is so touching, moving, remarkable, historic. And with Daniel O'Connell, if you want to get some feeling about all of the obstructions to living, the difficulties of the Irish, you know, you talked about how Ireland had no slaves. And one day soon I should have on, and I'd love to have you on together, my good friend Derek Warfield, who started with his brother a group called the Wolf Tones, and then just about 18 years ago started his group, the Young Wolf Tones, which is a fabulous musical group. And he will say, because the Irish, because the Irish were prohibited from
Practicing their religion.
Practicing their religion, writing their history, learning to read, doing anything academic. The story of the history of the Irish is told in their music. And he is a great historian. I've learned so much from him. And he is a wonderful a scholar of American music as well. Much of which comes from the Irish tradition and the immigrants.
Yes, very closely.
But he'll be the first to tell you that the reason that the British didn't have or need slaves is that they had the Irish.
I'm afraid that's true, because Frederick Douglass was appalled at the poverty of the Irish peasants, because slaves at least were well dressed. Their masters took, having invested in buying them, looked after them.
If they were in servitude in a home,
yes.
If they were out on the farm,
yes.
Frederick Douglass lived in an undershirt,
yes.
You know, basically a t-shirt, with nothing under it, yeah. And no shoes, until he was 7. When he was moved, when the master of that tobacco plantation in Maryland gave him to his friend in Baltimore, who had the little boy and where he learned to read and write, that's the first time he got shoes,
yeah.
And clothes and underwear, and that was all a new thing. So if you worked in the house, you'd be clothed.
Yeah. Well, the great generosity of spirit of those pioneering civil rights leaders like Daniel O'Connell would be the fact that his reprimand to the British said, when Irish were not allowed to be buried in a catechism.
Hold that thought, yeah. Because we need to talk about that. We'll be right back.
Go walk down Broadway, meaning not long
for to stay. Have you been to Serendipity 3? Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Serendipity 3, located at 225 East 60th Street, between 2nd and 3rd Avenues in New York City, offers their signature frozen hot chocolate and hot fudge sundaes. Yum. Hungry? Have a yummy brunch, lunch, pre and post theater dinners, and munchables in an atmosphere designed to make the best memories. The haunt of celebrities and people in the know for over 5 decades. Serendipity 3 is open Sunday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to midnight and Saturdays until 1 a.m. A New York City visit is incomplete without a stop at Serendipity 3. Before you leave there, pick up a copy of my novel Rumors from their darling gift shop. Visit serendipity3.com for menus and details.
Tickets are now on sale for the 2018 Tanglewood season, entitled Bernstein Centennial Summer, celebrating Lenny at Tanglewood. Maestro Andras Nelsons and world-famous guest conductors lead the Boston Symphony Orchestra in timeless classical masterpieces. Reserve your space at Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. Tickets are now on sale. Call 888-266-1200 or visit tanglewood.org.
Stephanie Abrams here, inviting you to Northern Ireland's North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers. Walk in mythical footsteps of giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrickaree Rope Bridge. Enjoy miles of sugary sand at Port Stewart Beach. And have a bite at Harry's Shack with its million-dollar panoramic beach view.
Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Giant's Causeway.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
I love alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Gloriously gorgeous sunny day overlooking the lake and the beautiful grounds in County Roscommon in the Republic of Ireland with my very good friend Mark Leslie. We were talking about the exhibit at Glasnevin Cemetery in Dublin. When you leave the exhibit area, you're actually out in the cemetery, and like Père Lachaise in Paris, you will find so many of the civil rights leaders, political leaders, authors, musicians,
artists,
people of all sorts, who are buried there in Glasnevin Cemetery. And when you enter the exhibit, the first thing that struck me was that there are the symbols that bring to mind specific religions, and I think there's about 80 of them, different symbols in recognition of the religions of at least 80 different religious backgrounds of people who are buried in the cemetery. And I'd like you to just share with our audiences why this is important, because the underlying reason that Daniel O'Connell felt compelled to have a cemetery where anyone, regardless of their religious background or their lack of religious background, could be buried.
Well, the British had cunningly used religion to divide and rule in Ireland and to keep the Catholic majority in terms of semi-slavery in terms of their civil rights. I won't sort of bore you with the details, but at the very level, they couldn't even have their own cemeteries. They could not say the prayers of their own religion over the dead, and you were fined for dying. It cost you £5, which was like equivalent to sort of $500 today, or maybe even $5,000 to die. It was a tax that went to educating Protestants, while they, in contrast, for most of that period, were not allowed to even learn to read or write, much like black slaves in America. It was illegal to teach them to read or write. So
it was more than illegal.
Yeah.
If an individual were caught teaching an Irish Catholic child to do reading, writing, arithmetic, they were subject to immediate execution.
Yes, and therefore it was extraordinary generosity of spirit that Daniel O'Connell defied the authorities, saying, "I am opening the cemetery. And fear not, it will not be a Roman Catholic cemetery. It'll be bigger than that. It will be a cemetery for people of any religion or no religion, which was pretty advanced thinking for the 1820s.
No kidding.
And as a result of that, right-minded people of all faiths, including the official established Protestant church, that technically by state law everyone belonged to and had to pay tithes, whether they were a Jew, Muslim, Catholic, Methodist, as far as the state was concerned, you were in the Church of England or you weren't, you know, and that was it, whether you liked it or not. And right-minded Protestants of the Church of England said, I want to be buried in this man's cemetery. So it was the first multicultural and multi-denominational institution in Ireland. And let's face it, the religious issue still has bedeviled Northern Ireland, you know, for many years since. So to think that in the 1820s, people of all political and religious persuasions flocked to show their support for the principle of a secularist cemetery where you could celebrate your faith. So there's Muslims buried beside Jews, there's Catholics next to Protestants, Buddhists. And our exhibition, we show what were the funerary rites and prayers of these people and what happens to you after you die. We have a whole interactive animated computer wall where you can see, which you very seldom find out, you know, what do the Seventh-day Adventists or the Mormons think happened to you when you die? But it represents all of the people that are buried there. And politically, we have dead and wounded soldiers who are buried there fighting for the British Empire, Irish heroes who fought for independence, leaders of both sides in our civil war. So can you imagine if you went to Arlington Cemetery and had civil rights leaders, black from the South, next to Governor Wallace, Robert E. Lee buried next to Abraham Lincoln, George Washington buried next to General Burgoyne. So all of Irish history and all its glory is represented there. So I would say it's the best day out in a cemetery in all of North Dublin. And the irony is that we are all united in death and all lie beside each other in death.
Yeah, and you've got Michael Collins' grave with monument almost immediately when you exit the visitor center experience. And if you haven't seen the film Michael Collins, I think it was made in the 1980s, it's with Liam Neeson and I think Alan Rickman played Eamon De Valera. Yeah. And Liam Neeson played Michael Collins.
And Julia Roberts plays the love interest.
Yeah, you really have to see this film.
But he was a great romantic hero and had away the benefit of dying young in his prime. So he is of huge interest. His grave is covered with flowers.
Every day. People bring fresh flowers there. It's remarkable.
Whereas his archenemy, his leader of the other side in our civil war, who made the mistake of surviving the civil war and going on to lead the country very ably for many decades, Eamon De Valera, I think at 4 o'clock every evening, one elderly lady comes and spits on his grave.
Oh, my goodness.
Who must have lost a relative in the Civil War.
My goodness. Maybe that was more information than I needed.
Yes. Well, you know, it's still rather delightful that these long dead still matter, you know.
Well, yeah.
Even to care enough to spit on the grave.
The stories and the emotion linger on.
Yeah.
And, you know, 100 years ago is a long time on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's people remembering stories that their grand told them when they were 4.
Yes, it's the twinkling of an eye.
That's it. So, you know, the stories are still very much alive and with us, and the wounds are quite deep.
I mean, I'm only a 65-year-old, but I was lucky enough to meet the late, great Eamon De Valera, and my beloved Uncle Jack, who only died 2 years ago in his 100th year,
Sir John Leslie.
To recount very direct, living experiences of meeting Michael Collins. And I've been disappointed because he was the Irish Pimpernel, the terrorist leader who could just vanish into the ground, master of disguise. And so he was a bit disappointed when a rather tired-looking civil servant in a trilby hat and a crumpled Macintosh said, oh, my God, he's so ordinary-looking. And they think, that was his secret. That's how the Scarlet Pimpernel escapes. He looks like an insurance salesman. He gets through every military checkpoint, you know, on his bicycle.
Well, I had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing, and you can find the archived interview at sabrams.com. Eamon O'Queeve, who is now a minister for the Galway-Connemara region in the Irish government. And he is the grandson of Eamon de Valera. And
born in New York, in relation to that.
Eamon O'Queeve was 26 years old when his grandfather died.
Yeah.
So, and they were very close. Yeah. And so he has wonderful stories to tell. He's roaming everywhere telling them. And you'll find it all at sabrams.com. We've run out of time. Well, for those of you on radio, stay with us. For TV, come back next week.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.